Come on, that's all right for me, but let's do better for the Lord. They were singing the song that he is alive. Amen. Are you glad that the King is alive? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to actually do what preachers don't do. Well, we say we're not going to do it, but I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to take my time. How about that? And if any of you know me, you know that I'm the kind of guy that says, if you don't want to stay, you can just go on home. Amen? Hallelujah. But I want to share some things before I get in the Word. I'm so glad to be in Dunn again. This place means so much to me. I came here in 2013 from Brownsville, Tennessee, with just a word from the Lord. The Lord said, go to Heritage Bible College in Dunn. And when I looked that place up, I thought, the Lord has to be kidding. Dr. Otis Autry used to say it like this, that the last thing God created was done. And on the seventh day, he rested and said, it is done. And there was done. Amen. That's what he told us. I thought, really, Dr. Autry? But I came here and the Lord spoke to me that one of the reasons he was sending me here at that time was for the president. And at the time, the president was Dr. Butts. And the first person I ran into when I got to this campus, right in those dorms over there, was Dr. Butts. And my mom was just so uneasy about me being 12 hours away from home in the middle of what seemed like nowhere. And when we got out of the vehicle, I remember the stench of the hog farm or whatever that thing is. And boy, you're talking about something horrible. But we ran into Dr. Butts and he made my mom a promise that he would take care of me. And he did just that. And I'm thankful tonight for many different reasons. Let me share my gratitude before I preach the word tonight. There are people in this room who have fed me when I didn't have money to buy food. I'm thankful for that. There are people in this room who bought clothes for me when I couldn't afford much. So it took me a little while to get going once I got to Dunn. But the Lord connected me with some people that after a while I was eating the brass lantern almost every weekend. Hallelujah. So while all the college students were talking about they were broke, busted, and disgusted, I was living high on the hog. Hallelujah. How many know God will take care of his people? Come on, somebody. There are people in this room who put gas in my car and tires on my car and paid for my insurance as well as gave me my first car. That happened right here in Dunn. There are people in this room who let me stay in their homes and they let me preach in their churches. And they gave me an offering. Hallelujah. There are people in this room who are the reason of my being in this room. And as I was sitting writing this tonight, you know, I was trying my best not to cry because even as I walked in the room tonight, I just immediately began to see that a lot of my heroes are in this room. You never want to forget who brought you here. The Lord has allowed me to stand tall in ministry because of the many people that are in this room. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. If you had any personal connection to me while I was here in Dunn, will you just stand up real quick? Because I want to say thank you. Come on, I'm about to call y'all out. That's what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. Come on, will you just celebrate these people with me? I see glad tidings is in the house. Hallelujah. Hey, man, look at there. Woo! I got to preach tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All of you can be seated. I am going to call a few names. Just tell your neighbor, it's all right. He's going to preach. He's taking his time. But I just want to say thank you for allowing this young man into your homes, your lives, your churches, and your families. And people like Dr. Butts, again, he helped me with my first airport experience. I'd never flown before, and it was time to go home for Christmas. I didn't know how to book a flight. I didn't know who to fly with, and we sat down right in his office, and he helped me book a flight, and not only that, but he took me to the airport as well. Brother Randy Barker and his wife, Miss Becky, I remember when my car was in the shop, he told me, he said, "Brother, you can take my car and use it as long as you need to use it." He didn't have to do that, but I'm thankful for that. One of my favorites, and I miss him dearly, Dr. Herbert Carter. Amen. He deserves a hand. Amen. He deserves a hand. As Bishop Randy said, Thanksgiving Day 2013, I heard somebody in the hallway, and I knew I was the only person that was there. And I heard somebody walking, and I just heard a voice in the hallway, and I opened up my door, and it was Dr. Carter, and he said, "Buddy, come be with me and my family for Thanksgiving." That meant the world to me. Everybody was going home, and I was just there by myself. And from then, I would travel with him when he would go and preach and teach from time to time. But there were some things that he said over the course of my time at Heritage that stuck with me. One thing was this: don't allow disappointments to distract you. Keep moving forward. Another statement he made was, "Brilliance without balance is dangerous." He said this to me also: "Jay, the minute you stop reading is the same minute in which you will stop teaching and preaching effectively." I remember it was a finals time, and he walked through the library, and you know, we always would put everything at crunch time, you know, at the end, trying to finalize all of our work. Everybody was drinking Red Bull and Starbucks from over there, at the gas station. Everybody's drinking all kinds of coffee, looking crazy, staying up late at night. And he walked through and he said, "Hey, fellas, how are y'all doing?" And we said, "We're doing fine." He asked us, "Do you have it all together?" And we said, "We're getting it together." He said, "Well, don't forget where you put it." And he walked on out of the room. He had this sense of dry humor, you know. I'm thinking, my goodness, come on, Doc. He said this one time in class in church growth: "Every human being wants to be complimented in some way. Anyone that does not desire that is not a human being, but they are honestly, I don't know what they are." That's what Dr. Carter said. About evangelism one day, he said, "Get out where the sinners are and hustle." How many know the church needs that word today? Get out where the sinners are and hustle. This was one of the last things I remember him saying: "If you can't cooperate in ministry, you can't operate in ministry." I'm thankful for Bishop Randy for inviting me to the Young Leaders Hangout when Dr. Brian Cutshaw came. And it was from that I met him, connected with him, and now we travel all over the world together. That would not have happened had you not invited me. I don't think they're here tonight, but Dr. Phil and Ms. Tracy Newton, great advisors, mentors for me. People like Ernest and Teresa Alfin, Pop, I see him back there, Cliff Alfin, Josh Alfin, Jess and Michelle Alfin, kind people to me. They gave me, we were at Carolina basketball games, football games. And I'm going to just tell you the truth. There were some nights we had class. I said, "Well, I'm breaking away from class and taking a Sabbath's rest and going up to the dome to watch the Tar Heels play ball." Hallelujah. Mr. Randy and Miss Belinda Cruz, Buddy and Sheila Manis. I call her Grandma Dorothy Hammond, sitting right over here. She adopted me and just took care of me while I was here. Mr. Quincy and Miss Marlene Strongs, board member of Heritage Bible College, of which I'm staying with this week. Hallelujah. It's good to have connections. She said, "Jay, I made your spaghetti. It's waiting on you whenever you're ready for it." Because if you don't know this about me, I love to eat. Hallelujah. Don't I, Dr. Kelly and Sister Kelly? They know. Triangle waffle. Let me tell you something about Dr. Kelly. Dr. Kelly would say, Jay, let's go eat breakfast. Now I'm a college student. I'm thinking we're going to go eat about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning when I get up. Dr. Kelly's like, Jay, I'll meet you there at 6 o'clock. I'm like, Doc, come on, man. Let me get some sleep. But I appreciate them. So many others, I'm thankful for you tonight again. Let's give all of those wonderful people a hand. And I know there are so many more. Ray Butts, I see all of you. I could be calling names all night. But I'm thankful to all of you for your kindness. Now I'm ready to preach the word. Amen? Amen. So let's go to the book of John. Brandon Tichy, my brother, it's good to see you, Pastor. When we were in school, all the women loved Brandon. Oh, hallelujah. But brother, I've been in the gym working out. Hallelujah. I got something for you. Glory to God. No, he knows I love him. My little brother is here with me from Tennessee. TJ is here. Terrence. Hallelujah. It's good to have him. He's been traveling with me this summer. John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. And then we're going to go back over to Jeremiah. John chapter 21, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, this is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things, somebody say many other things, which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Let's flip over to Jeremiah 36, verses 22 and 23. Thankful for the Ezell family. So good to see y'all. Love y'all so much. Jeremiah 36, 22 and 23. The Bible says, now the king was sitting in his winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning in the fireplace before him. When Jehudah had read three or four columns, the king cut it with a scribe's knife, and he threw it into the fire that was in the fireplace until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fireplace. How many know sometimes when people don't like what's in the Word of God, they try to cut things out? And for the next few moments, I want to preach from this title, It's Time to Write Another Chapter. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's time to write another chapter. Come on, you got to say it stronger than that. It's time to write another chapter. There were so many things that Jesus did while he was on the earth that were never recorded. John tells us that. John only gives us a highlight of Jesus' ministry. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you know that there are some people who only want to talk about what God has done? And there's a place to talk about what God has done. And I'm thankful for what God has done. We used to sing a song in our church, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I will never forget. No, never. How many of you can never forget what the Lord has done? He picked you up. He turned you around. He placed your feet on a solid foundation. And tonight, I'm so thankful that when the Lord looked at me, he looked on me. Not only did he see my faults, but he saw my need. He saw that I was in need of a Savior. He saw that I was in need of healing. He saw that I was in need of deliverance. He sees right now that this nation is in trouble and is in need of a revival, which I believe will be the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we have ever seen before. I believe that God is about to write another chapter in his church. Somebody say, it's time to write another chapter. In 2 Kings chapter 7, when there was a famine in the land, the Bible talks about how one of the things that they ate was dove's dung. And how many of you know that the dove represents the Holy Ghost? And basically, that is a picture. It's a representation of a people who were only eating the past moves of the Holy Spirit. Because how do you know the dung represents where the dove has been? It's remembering the good old days, but not willing to sacrifice for a new day. Glory to God. I saw the scripture that was on the graphic for the convention this week, that behold, I will do a new thing. And I'm here to tell you, I'm grateful for what the Lord has done in this denomination and in your lives and in this city and in your churches, in your families. But I'm telling you, God does not want you to settle for the chapters that have already been written. He wants to use your life to write a brand new chapter. He wants to write a new chapter in the Pentecostal Free Will Baptist Church. It is not over until God says it's over. It's not settled until God says it's settled. Somebody shout in this room and give God praise. Too many churches today are not moving forward. They're only talking about the move from yesteryear. Do you remember the camp meeting when the glory fell? Yeah, I remember. But when are we going to see it again? When are we going to touch it again? When are we going to taste it again? David said in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The church has been eating stale bread. But it's time for a fresh word. Jesus prayed, give us this day our daily bread. It's time out for the church starting at 11 o'clock sharp and ending at 12 o'clock dull, trying to get to the buffet, trying to beat the Baptist. Glory to God. If we want the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to wait and tarry until the Holy Ghost fills the room. We got people who are filled. That I'm not against education. I'm all for education. We need education. But I heard the prophet Leonard Ravenhill say this one time. You can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. We got too many frozen churches in the body of Christ. But I believe God's about to write a brand new chapter. Somebody shout, Lord, do it in me. I don't just want to focus on what has been. It's time to write something fresh and something new. I want to hear about just what happened on Azusa Street. I want to see God do something on Bud Hawkins Road. Hallelujah. I want to see God do something right here in Dunn, North Carolina, where they will have to begin to write new chapters of history of a move of God that's sweeping throughout Eastern North Carolina. God's about to write another chapter in his church, in this nation. I don't know if you've looked around in this nation, but we need a move of God. And I'm telling you, people are talking, oh my goodness, the White House, the White House, the White House. I'm telling you, the revival is not going to start in the White House. God's looking at the church house. And until the church house gets back to prayer, gets back to fasting, gets back to that foundation that Dr. Michael preached about last night, we can pray, we can prophesy, but we won't have a move of God until we have it. We can announce revival all day long. We show up and we have a meeting and we leave the same way that we came. Election time, the church is so divided, black and white, Democrat, Republican, red and blue. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you the truth? And whether you respond by saying yes or no, I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Too many preachers are stepping back, and they're telling lies. They're telling all these steps to be a good person. But I'm telling you something. We need to get back to the blood. We need to get back to the cross. We need to get back to the power of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to see a move until we put the right ingredients in. Telling you something, church. The answer is not in the party of the donkey. The answer is not in the party of the elephant. But there was a day, there was a man by the name of John the Baptist who was baptizing people, and he introduced a new political party that nobody had ever really understood before. He said, no, it's not about a donkey. It's not about an elephant. He said, behold the Lamb of God
which taketh away the sins of the world. The answer is not in the red. It's not in the blue. It's not in Biden. It's not in Trump. God can use anybody he wants to use. The answer is on our knees as we seek the face of God. God's not looking for a party. He's looking for a people. They stood up in Leviticus and they said, whoever's on the Lord's side, let him come now. Joshua, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him and he said, oh, I'm thankful we have an angel. He said, are you with us or are you against us? I love the response that the angel gave him. He said, I'm not with you and I'm not against you. What does that mean? When the Lamb's agenda shows up, God said, I'm not coming to take sides. I'm coming to take over. The church needs to step back and let God be God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. I don't care how many people watch them on television, what kind of mega ministry they have, if they're not preaching the truth of the Word of God. He's writing another chapter. He's doing it in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your business, in your finances, and in this denomination. God is done with the old chapter. He's done with the old way. He's done with the old paradigm. He's done with church as usual, church as normal, and church as predictable. Every Sunday, you can tell who's going to do what, who's going to holler on what song, who's going to run, who's going to jump up. Let me tell you something. We need a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be tired of predictable church. Well, you know, they're singing Victor's Crown this morning, and when Sue hears that chorus, she's going to throw her hands up and run all over this place. That's the dove's dung. Trying to go back to where God moved last time. How do you know they would be searching and trying to find Jesus? And they look up and they couldn't find where he was. He would slip through. They couldn't keep up with him. It's the same way we're supposed to be. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. We're trying to keep up with all of these people that are out here doing this and that. Just follow Jesus. Bible said they were pressing into a house one day. They said all they wanted to do was see Jesus. We're coming to church for all the wrong reasons, but I believe there's some things about to change. Let me tell you, when your preacher's not preaching, you don't show up. You say, well, I don't like that brother or that sister. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will have your deliverance racked in a package that you don't even want to receive from. Come on, say amen to that. Somebody shout, God's done with the old. God has said to us through this pandemic, I'm done with that model. The new chapter includes signs, wonders, miracles, the supernatural, the impossible, revival, reformation, renewal, refreshing, power, authority, presence, and intimacy. We are not backing up, devil. I came to announce to everybody that's watching out there in Facebook land, the church is about to make a comeback stronger than it has ever made before. We realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's time out for being ashamed of being Holy Ghost filled people. The world needs to see a church that's on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout in this room. Walking around scared to use the power of the Holy Ghost. People said, brother, can you pray for me? I said, you sure you want me to pray? I said, because I'm bringing a little tongues with me. Hallelujah. Come on, I can't get no help in here. We're in this day and time, we're getting people saved, but we're not getting them filled. We're not getting them filled. We push tongues to the back room. Deliverance to the side room. No. The world needs to see the power of God in action like they've never seen it before. When we leave this world, we're not going out as a weak church. We're not going out as a weak bride. The Bible says about the apostles in Acts 17, these are they who have turned the world upside down. What are we doing? We're looking at the world and we're trying to keep up with them when we're supposed to be setting the trend as to how life is supposed to be lived. That's why we need a new chapter. I believe we're about to see a new chapter entitled Revival of the Last Days. See, some of us have forgotten the prophetic words that have been spoken. And see, we're supposed to be Pentecostal people. We stand on the word like prophecy, such as in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. I don't care if your son and grandson is under a bridge drunk tonight. When God gets a hold to them and changes them and washes them, they will be set on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, brother, you don't know about my son. You don't know about my daughter. I'm telling you something. Jesus can touch a life so it'll turn a prostitute into a prophetess. Hallelujah. It'll turn a pimp into a preacher. That's what Jesus can do. But see, the problem is with these new chapters, when these people walk through the door and they got these past, we said, no, 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 no. You remember what he used to do? What she used to be? Well, the truth of the matter is, if we look back in your book, you hadn't always smelt this good. You hadn't always looked this good. You didn't always drive that good and live that good. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, come on now, you too would have been swallowed up. Don't you forget so quickly how the Lord picked you up out of your mess. Sons and daughters, young men, old men shall dream dreams. You know, in that passage, there's about five references to young people and only one to older people. Isn't that interesting? There cannot be sons and daughters if there are no mothers and fathers. Some of you have retired spiritually. You say, oh, no, I'm done. I'm not talking about letting a title go. I'm talking about you just stopped doing ministry. You stopped pouring into the next generation. But I come here tonight from Jackson, Tennessee, to tell you, you cannot retire, but it's time for you to get some refiring in the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, brother, I used to do that. No, you need to be filled again. Well, in 1947, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Well, can I ask you something? When was the last time you got drunk in the Holy Ghost? I remember growing up in my Church of God in Christ Church, where people would get filled, so filled that they couldn't even drive home that night when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They would be speaking in tongues all night long. Somebody had to drive them home because they were so intoxicated of what was poured out in Acts chapter 2. They said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, being it but the third hour of day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I'm telling you, it's time to see a day where we allow God to do it again. Just like he brought the animals to Noah on the ark, he's brought us to this place tonight. I'm not calling you an animal, although anybody that's been in ministry knows that church folks can act like animals. Come on here. Oh, I know your pastor don't want to tell you, but I came to tell you. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of an evangelist. We blow in, blow up, and blow out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to blow up out of here in a while. 2022, this year, don't despise the church. Don't despise your local assembly. I heard Dr. Sam Chan say this at the conference when we were in Pigeon Forge. He said the church people and the church experience can be just like Noah's ark sometimes. How many of you know that ark stunk? Oh, my God. Some of our churches stink. And there's a lot of mess inside of our churches. But we got a bad habit of looking at each other and saying, oh, yeah, Pastor Bishop, Bishop Randy, can we have a private meeting? You say, yes, we can meet. So let's meet at the Cracker Barrel. That's where I ate today when I first got in town, by the way. Hallelujah. Bishop, I would like to talk. I'm going to use my buddy Chris Searles as an example. Bishop, I would like to talk to you about Brother Chris. I'm concerned about Brother Chris. These are church people. I'm concerned about Brother Chris. Some of his stuff just stinks to me. And we need to do something about that. We can smell everybody else's mess. But the last time I checked, glory to God, your mess doesn't smell like peaches and cream. I can't get no help in here. Hallelujah. Churches stink. There's a lot of mess. But guess what? Noah's ark was the only thing that was floating in the midst of the storm. What am I telling you? Don't abandon the church. Don't abandon God's people. It's the only thing that's floating. And if you know what's good for you, you'll stay in the house of God. You'll stay planted. Don't let somebody pull you out of where God's trying to bless you. In the very place where God wants to bless you and your family, the devil is trying his best to get you out of there. You know what? I love Carolina basketball, but it will not come before my dedication to God. It will not come before my sacrifice and my love for the things of God. I'll get to the game when I get there, but until then, I'm going to stay in the face of God, because at any moment, he could show up and you could miss what God did. Somebody shout, he's writing another chapter. I want you to speak this word over yourself. Just say this, I am not a grasshopper. Now look at your neighbor and say, I don't see you as a grasshopper. Let me explain to you what I'm saying. When the Israelites came back from spying the land, God said he had already given them. They said we were in our sight as grasshoppers. Here's the mistake. Number one, they believed that they did not matter as individuals. You're sitting in this room tonight, you do matter. I don't care how young, I don't care how old, you do matter in the kingdom of God, and there's a place that God has for you. But here was the second problem, and I'm saying this to the denomination. The Israelites believed that the group that God had chosen to gather them with didn't mean anything. A grasshopper is something that is so insignificant, you'll step on it, squish it, and never think twice about it. But we're not going to do that anymore in the church. Stepping on each other, jockeying for positions and titles and promotions of men, tearing our brothers down rather than building them up. Rather than running around the church gossiping about who just had a divorce in the church, you need to be praying that God will restore the broken marriage. Because just like the devil destroyed theirs, he's coming after yours next. The devil didn't show up in the garden until there had been a marriage ceremony. Come on, hallelujah. There are no grasshoppers in the PFWB. I'm looking at an army tonight that God wants to raise up. An army that God wants to use for his glory, to touch by his power, and to change the world. You look at John. John's talking about writing down what Jesus did, but not being able to write down all of it. When you see Jeremiah 36, you see there's something that has been written to a king on a scroll that he doesn't want to hear. Involved in all of this are a group of people by the name of scribes. Show y'all that I did go to Heritage Bible College. Hallelujah. Your scribes are those who were trained in writing skills and used to record events and decisions. During the exile in Babylon, educated scribes apparently became the experts in God's written word by copying, preserving, and teaching it. You know Ezra in Ezra chapter 7 verse 6, who was a scribe in the sense of being an expert in teaching God's word. This is what I learned about being a preacher. If you don't spend time studying, you'll waste time preaching. Now, what's been interesting in my life is, in December, it'll be 14 years that I've been preaching. Started when I was 13. I'm 27 now. A lot of times people think because you're young, you've not had any experiences. But I'm here to tell you, when you don't study the word of God, you will waste people's time. People want to hear opinions. Not me. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. I don't want to be in a church that's not telling the truth. Say amen to that. I don't have itching ears. Body of Christ, we got to get rid of itching ears. Group of scribes by the New Testament time, they were more professional. They were called scribes of the Pharisees who interpreted the law. They taught it to the disciples and they were experts. Remember that. Experts in cases where people were accused of breaking the law of Moses. Now, wait a minute. These were the same people in Luke 19:47 who tried to kill Jesus. You know, religious people will always try to kill kingdom people. Matthew 23, they received a rebuke from Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. They took a pen, a piece of paper, and would write what they heard from the king and would record conversations throughout the day. They were history makers. They were writing things down as it happened. You see in the book of Esther, it was scribes who reminded the king of his obligations. How many of you know it's good to take notes when the king is talking? You know, being a preacher, I've seen it, y'all. I've seen black folks, white folks, Hispanic folks, and all kinds of folks who come to church, never take a note, never bring a Bible, and wonder why the devil is defeating them in their life. They're the people that after the sermon, you poured out your heart, preach revival, and they say, oh, brother, can I get you over here on the side? Can you give me special prayer? No, you should have been at the altar when I was praying for everybody else. Oh, brother, the devil's been attacking my family. Didn't you just hear me the last 6 weeks preach a series on warfare? Oh, blessed Jesus. What am I telling you? People are coming to church, but they're not receiving anything. Not because we're not feeding. Come on here. Can I talk a little bit, Brother Randy? You know what it's like as a pastor when people say, oh, Brother Barker, my season has ended and I'm going somewhere else. I'm not being fed anymore. Well, by golly, you've been on the battlefield 40 years. I don't mind taking a bottle and putting it in the mouth of a babe in Christ. But when you're 60 years old in the Lord and I got a part of mustache to try to get a bottle in it, there is a problem. I'm telling you that it is time for people in the church to grow up in the things of the Spirit. How many times are you going to call the pastor? Pastor, I need you to lay hands on me. You've been in church so long, you've had enough oil put on you to crank a bus. Glory to God. You should have enough anointing, enough word, enough prayer, enough fasting to get your own family out of your battle. Ooh, I'm preaching better than you saying amen in here. Glory to God. Wanting an extra touch. No, you get this touch right here under this anointing. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you let me come back next year, Brother Randy. Hallelujah. write me in next year's chapter. Glory to God. Somebody shout, take notes when the king talks. God is speaking to you through preachers every week. Speaking to you through dreams and visions, prophecy, worship leaders, prayer and singers. And we're not holding on to what the king is saying. We have the opportunity and the privilege to remind God of his word and his obligation to his people. Jeremiah 29:11, it tells us he has a plan. He wants to prosper you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. He wants to give you an expected end. And when the devil comes to try to get you off track, you got to have your notes to let him know that he has to get out of here. Can I tell you something? Nobody can stay in the house that I stay in and they don't help with the bills. What am I telling you? Satan, you can't live here, buddy. You're not helping out. Come on, hallelujah. Because that utility bill is through the roof. Glory to God. Oh, but the Lord is our provider. We sung that tonight. Jireh, you are enough. I'm telling you, church, when the devil starts attacking your family, your children not coming to church and getting far away from God, you better take your notes out. My notes tells me in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. God is not after your feelings. He's after your faith. If you can have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you get up every morning and you call that son or that daughter. If they don't answer, leave them a voicemail. You say, listen, Joshua 24:15 is the word over this family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know where you're headed today. I don't know what you're doing today. But guess what? Run all you want. You're going to serve the Lord. Run all you want. He's going to wash you. Run all you want. He's going to cleanse you. Run all you want. He's going to baptize you. Run all you want. You're going to speak in tongues. How many of you parents already know that when you pray, glory to God, God will bring that child that was running, woo, he'll bring them home. How many know prayer changes things? If you believe that, give God a thunderous shout in this room. When the devil starts attacking your ministry and your church, you get your notes out from Philippians 1:6, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Devil starts attacking your children again. Isaiah 54:13. My children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Devil attacks your business. You get your notes out. Isaiah 48:17. Bible says, I, the Lord, am your holy redeemer who teaches you how to profit and leads you in the way that you should go. Some of you in your business, there needs to be a new chapter. Glory to God. Let me just tell you this. We need more Holy Ghost-filled business people in the kingdom to help fund the work that the Lord is calling us to do. 2 Kings 25, y'all, I'm finishing up now here in a little bit. In the Church of God in Christ, we have about 3 closings. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar called for the scribes to be taken captive and arrested. They said, King, who do you want to lock up? Lock up the people that know the word. Nightclubs were open during COVID. Liquor stores were open during COVID. But the church was shut. And now I'm about to chase this one and I'm going to leave this alone. But I think about the woman with the issue of blood. By the way, let me just go ahead and tell you, I believe the church worldwide failed the COVID test. We failed it. We failed it miserably. Woman with the issue of blood, she's told, stay in the house. Don't go anywhere. Don't go get around anybody. Stay in here. But she needed something. She said, well, sure, he could send a word to her house like he's done for others. But it was for her to go and get it. How many of you know sometimes God just wants to see how bad do you want it? She leaves the house. She's supposed to be quarantined. I'm just telling you now, take this however you want to take it. Bible says she came in the press. She said within herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment. She understood something about Jesus that many don't understand today. I know that I have a disease. I know I have what's supposed to be a terminal illness. She knew, but if I touch him, he won't get what I have, but I'll get what he has. He won't get this issue of blood, but I'll get healed. I'll get delivered, and I will be set free. We said, go in the house, stay in the house, don't touch nobody, don't talk to nobody. That was a time for God to work miracles. And we missed it. We missed it, church. But how many of you know any good teacher is willing to give a makeup test? God has given his church a makeup test. Glory to God. There were some times at Heritage, Lord, have mercy. Nobody had studied. Nobody had done anything they were supposed to do. And we all failed so bad that the professor felt bad and said, well, we're going to try this again next week. Glory to God. I'm thankful for a makeup test. How many know you feel better when everybody else didn't do well either? Nebuchadnezzar said, shut down the ones who know the word. Why? Why the scribes? Because they are the ones who have the ability to go back in history and show Israel, this is not the first time you've been in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm afraid that somebody, one of those scribes, are going to remind them, don't you remember what the Lord did for us in Egypt? If he brought us out of Egypt, he'll bring us out of Babylon. Come on, somebody. That's the power of being a note taker when the king is talking. They were afraid that the people would begin to think that if God has done it before, he'll do it again. If he's healed your body before, he will do it again. Church, I don't care what the doctor's report is. We believe the report of the Lord. They told my grandfather a few years back, I'll never forget. I called Jess often. We sat down at Cracker Barrel. I said, Jess, my family just called me. They told me my grandfather, liver cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. He's going to die in a few weeks. Jess, I got to get home. Jess made sure I was able to get home. I got to the house. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to panic. He's not going to die. He's going to live and declare the works of the Lord. See, I come from a family, we still believe in fasting. I'm talking about old school. Hallelujah. We still believe in that. If you don't know what that is, see me at the back door after church and I'll tell you what old school fasting is. It's not this new stuff that people are doing. It's the old stuff. Jeremiah told the people, seek ye the old path, and when you find it, walk therein. Everything that's traditional is not bad. There are some traditions that we need to hold on to. And my grandmother said, we're going to call a fast. God didn't call me to lose my husband at this time. Our family went on a fast, long story short, went back to the doctor. They looked for liver cancer, couldn't find it. Looked for colon cancer, couldn't find it. Looked for prostate cancer, couldn't find it. Because we stood on the word that David spoke. I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. You may be in the fourth stage, but it had been 4 days. And he showed up for Lazarus. If it was just enough time for Lazarus, it's just enough time for you to get your miracle. I'm happy about what God has already done in my life, but I'm just getting started. I'm believing that God's raising up a new generation to write a new chapter. It's time to change the period to a comma. It's not over. It's going to continue in your family, in your ministry, and in your church. Stop reciting history and start making it. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, history makers. Stop focusing on where you've been and start focusing on where you and God are going. So, my second closing. So, I'm almost done. God bless you, Brother Preston. Good to see you. Hallelujah. The scribes in the New Testament were not too popular with Jesus. All they wanted to do was stay in the old part of the book. But when Jesus showed up and was ready to write new chapters, they couldn't accept what he was doing because they were living in the past. Rather than getting a pen and a piece of paper out, saying, fellas, we might need to get this one. They missed out on a lot of what Jesus did. They didn't understand who Jesus was. Look back at the scribes. Many of them come from the tribe of Zebulun. Bible talks about in Judges 5 the story of Deborah or Deborah. Bible says Zebulun went with her. And people can feel however they want to feel about women in ministry. But can I tell you, God will call a woman to do some things because he can't get men to obey. If you think the kingdom is going to be on hold because a man won't say yes to the Lord, you got another thing coming. Brother Linwood Ivy, is that you back there? That is him. My God. It's so good to see you. Y'all, I'm just country. I don't know no better. Hallelujah. But when I met Brother Jensen Franklin, that's what he told me he liked. He said, brother, you're just as humble as an old shoe. I said, yes, I am. I'm a converse to be exact. Glory to God. But what was interesting in this book of Judges, there was a woman. Let me tell you how God can use women real quick. Bible says there was a woman who killed the enemy of her house with a hammer, a spike, and a bowl of milk. There are some women in the body of Christ who say, listen, if the devil shows up in my house, I can defeat the enemy with household ingredients. Come on, somebody. With a little bit of praise and worship as I'm walking through my house, washing the dishes and washing some clothes. There are some women who can defeat their enemy with simply household goods. I see you, Josh. Glory to God. Somebody shout, God can use women. Judges 5:24 talks about that from this tribe of courageous women would come scribes for ages. 2 Chronicles 12, Bible talks about Issachar and Zebulun, that they were not intimidated by transition, but they were sitting there daily with a blank sheet of paper waiting to record whatever God wanted to do. So these people went from just being a people to being a place in northern Israel. So here comes Jesus out of the wilderness into the region of the Zebulites, walks into one of their sleepy synagogues, and one of the preachers is reading Isaiah 60. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. That's how he was reading. Church, can I be honest with you? I told you I'm blowing in, blowing up, and blowing out. I preached in some churches while I was here during my time in college. And it was pretty dry in the room. I'm talking about all denominations, all backgrounds, and I didn't understand. But what I came to realize was the pen wasn't in the house. What I mean by the pen, some guy handed this dried up preacher the book and he read. But then when Jesus walked in, somebody said, let's try this again. You read. He stands up, glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now here's the thing. He read the same thing that this dried up preacher just read. But the difference was when Jesus got to that last part, he closed the book and said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was saying, I am the fulfillment of what was written right here. Those demons never screamed out when those dry preachers got up to preach in the synagogue. But when the miracle maker showed up, when the life transformer showed up, when he stepped into the room as a pen ready to write a new chapter, everything changed. See, some of us are not seeing any deliverance in our church because there's something missing. But I'm learning now as I go from place to place, demons start screaming out everywhere. And everybody's scared to death. I said, oh, no. Those old sanctified mothers in the church of God in Christ, they prepared me for this moment right here. Because when people would come in the services intoxicated, trying to ruin the service, trying to distract everybody, those old mothers would look to the pastor and say, brother, you just keep right on preaching. We're going to go back here and cast this devil out. Those jokers would get free, healed, and delivered, get saved, filled, and baptized that same night because the pen was in the room. Glory to God. Somebody shout, this day. How many of you would like to get a miracle this day? See your household saved this day. See your city turned around this day. See your body healed this day. Glory to God. See young people being filled with the Holy Ghost this day. Got to get a piece of paper and a pen and start writing a new chapter. Jesus was doing all of these new things. And this is my third closing. Brother Randy, you can start playing. Hallelujah. Here is the new chapter, and this is what the religious people responded after Jesus would write a new chapter. Yeah, we appreciate the healing, but did you know it was the Sabbath? Jesus said, you're blind. You're deaf. Do you not realize that this day was created for you? If there's any day you should be able to get a miracle, it's this day. This man just got healed, and you're talking about, but it's the Sabbath. Religious people are always trying to get the air out of your balloon. Well, I just got ordained last night. Oh, well, we'll see how long you stay in. Come on, stop discouraging people. Just because your life and your ministry has been dried up because you've not made yourself a fresh sacrifice on the altar, don't try to take the joy out of others. Writing a new chapter. But guess what? John wrote about it. How many know that when the pen is in the house, no matter how long the enemy has tormented and plagued your life, you can write a new chapter? John chapter 8, the scribes came ready to stone this woman who had been caught in adultery. She had sinned. She was caught. They had written her off. They had written her out. She's done too much. She cannot be forgiven. But some idiot turned and said to Jesus, but what do you say? That's where they messed up, Bishop. Everything was good until they turned to the pen and asked the pen, hey, what you got to say about this? Glory to God. He stoops down in the ground because I believe he had been waiting on this moment for about 2,000 years. He knelt down and pulled out the pen of his finger. The same pen, listen to this, that wrote the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. I believe he was writing in the sand, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to give you a fresh start. I'm going to write you out of this mess. Church, he's writing you out of some stuff today. He's writing your children out of some stuff. Church problems. Financial problems, legal problems, relationship problems, marital problems, business problems, personal problems, medical problems. It's not over. It's not finished. I came to announce tonight the pen is in the house. Why did I read Jeremiah 36? God had spoken to Jeremiah, told him, write down word for word everything that I've given you to tell this king. God warned him, they're not going to want to hear it, but do it anyway. Jeremiah was so strong in the truth, he was banned from the temple because he was telling the truth. Jeremiah couldn't come to the camp meeting. Isn't that something? False prophets were telling people what they wanted to hear and not what they needed to hear. So Jeremiah figured out a plan. He said, okay, since I'm banned, let me give the scroll to my servant and let him go read it. Let him go stand on a high place near the temple and let him read the new chapter that God's writing for his people. The Bible says everybody came out to hear him. People are going to leave these false prophets and they're going to come looking for the truth. You need to be in a church that just not only blesses you, but every now and then you need to be saying, blister me. Tear me up, Pastor. Church, I heard Brother Jensen Franklin say this. He's such a kind guy, by the way. The church is not a Chinese restaurant with a bunch of fortune cookies. Good stuff. Oh, you're going to do this and be this and be that. Sometimes the preacher will read your mail. Sometimes the word of the Lord is repent. Don't go back to that. Leave that alone. We don't want to hear that. Somebody shout, a new chapter. The king, the Bible says, when he read what Jeremiah had written, he took out his pen knife and started cutting out the parts that he didn't like. And he started throwing it into the fire. I don't like submission. That's what the church is saying today. Throw it in the fire. I don't like humility. Throw it in the fire. I don't like holiness. That's what the church is saying today. Throw it in the fire. I don't like when Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. They're saying, throw it away. I don't like that. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I don't like it. Throw it out. I want to go where I want to go. I want to date who I want to date. I want to do whatever I want to do. If we're not careful, we'll sit on the thrones like this king and think we can dictate the message. Church, we can't cut it out just because the culture is offended by it. Come on and stand up as I close this because we're going to pray. We're cutting out heaven. We're cutting out hell, cutting out the rapture, cutting out miracles. We're cutting out the gifts of the Spirit. We're cutting out everything that doesn't have to do with right now. Cutting out the Ten Commandments. We're cutting out till death do us part. Cutting out Pentecostal worship. But church, can I tell you, if we want our children to do it, we better learn to do it. When was the last time you shouted? When was the last time you ran? And we want children to be on fire for the Lord. And we come in and we look at each other like we've been sucking on lemons all day. And the praise leader got to beg you, open your mouth and tell God thank you. They're singing too long. I'm tired of Gwen singing every camp meeting. It's time to write another chapter. Wonder why our children are straying, because we're not excited about the God we say that we serve. Cutting out all the wrong things. Our young people are confused. We got to get back to, Lord, if it's not pleasing to you, I'll give it up. So in conclusion, if God has given you some promises, don't get discouraged. And take your knife out and trim it down to less than what God said it would be. If God told us that he was going to pour out his Spirit in the last days, he meant exactly what he said, and we don't have to take the pen knife and cut it out. Somebody say, Lord, I'm ready. It's time for you tonight to write yourself out of the old and into the new. I just want you to say this to the enemy tonight. I want him to hear you say this. Devil, get your knife off of my promise. I've got a pen and I'm going to write a new chapter. How do you write a new chapter? Because my professor has taught me you need some application. Hallelujah. Psalm 45 and 1 says, my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. You write new chapters by speaking them. You have to prophesy that life is coming back to your church. Confession is coming back to your church. Got to start changing how you talk, changing how you praise, changing how you pray. Start writing a new chapter today. Get your pen out and a piece of paper in your spirit and start writing. There are some people in here tonight that said, I need to write a new chapter in my life, in my family, in my ministry. I just want you to flood to this altar real quick. Hallelujah. Come on, quickly. And I want you, just as you come, start opening up your mouth and writing up a new chapter. Start writing it. Start calling your children out. Start calling your grandchildren out. Start praising and praying for the new chapters that are being written in the PFWB, the new chapters that are being written for your sons and your daughters, the new chapters that are being written in the city of Dunn. Come on, church. I want us to roar in this place. Let there be a thunderous shout in this room. Come on, lift up your voices. Start writing a new chapter. Start using your tongue.